Hear the word of the Lord as it is written in Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man is delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people gathered into the courtyard of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take hold of Jesus by deceit and kill him. But they said, "Not at the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came to him a woman, having an alabaster vessel of ointment, very precious, and poured it on his head as he sat. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "For what purpose was this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But Jesus, knowing, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For always you have the poor with you, but me you do not have always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she has done it for my burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, going to the chief priests, said, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him up to you?" And they appointed to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he sought an opportunity that he might deliver him up. And on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus ordered them and prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he sat down with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you shall betray me." And sorrowing greatly, they began to say to him, every one of them, "Is it I, Lord?" And he, answering, said, "He who dips the hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for him if that man had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, answering, said, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He says to him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus, taking the bread and blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say to you that I will not drink henceforth of this produce of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus says to them, "All of you shall be offended in me this night. For it is written, 'I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.' But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter, answering, said to him, "Though all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to thee, in this night, before the cock crows, 3 times thou shalt deny me." Peter says to him, "Though I must die with thee, I will not deny thee." And all the disciples said likewise. We read from Apocalypse Explained, number 659. Sepulchres, by reason of the dead bodies and bones in them, signify infernal things. But burial signifies the rejection of these infernal things and consequently resurrection. For when a man rejects or puts off his material body, he puts on a spiritual body with which he rises again. For this reason, the death itself of man signifies, in the spiritual sense, the continuation of his life. But in an evil sense, it signifies damnation, which is spiritual death. Because in respect to man, burial signifies resurrection and also regeneration, therefore, in respect to the Lord, it signified the glorification of his human. For the Lord glorified, that is, made divine, his entire human. Consequently, with the human glorified, that is, made divine, on the third day he rose again. Unless this had been done, no man could have risen again to life. For man has resurrection to life solely from the Lord, and indeed from his having united the divine with his human. From this union, which is properly meant by glorification, man has salvation. This is involved in what the Lord said of the woman who poured balsamic ointment upon his head, that she did it for his burial. For anointing signifies that glorification, because from it man has salvation. And because from it man has salvation, it is said of this woman, "Amen, I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of for a memorial of her." Amen. He goes with them to a place called Gethsemane and says to the disciples, "Sit here while I, going away, will pray there." And taking Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to sorrow and to be in agony. Then he says to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch with me." And going forwards a little, he fell on his face, praying and saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he comes to the disciples and finds them asleep, and says to Peter, "Did you not have strength thus for 1 hour to watch with me? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, going away, he prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, thy will be done." And coming, he finds them asleep again, for their eyes were weighed down. And leaving them, going away again, he prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he comes to his disciples and says to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us lead the way. Behold, he who betrays me is near." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a crowd of many, with swords and wooden rods, from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I shall kiss is he. Take hold of him." And straightway coming to Jesus, he said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Fellow, why art thou here?" Then approaching, they laid hands on Jesus and took hold of him. And behold, one of them who were with Jesus, stretching out his hand, drew his sword, and striking the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. Then Jesus says to him, "Return thy sword into its place, for all those who take the sword shall perish in the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now call upon my Father, and he will cause to assist me more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled, that so it ought to be?" In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me? I sat with you daily, teaching in the temple, and you did not lay hold of me." But all this came to pass that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, leaving him, fled. And they who had taken hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the chief priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter followed him afar off into the courtyard of the high priest, and entering within, he sat with the officers to see the end. And the chief priests and the elders and the whole council sought false witness against Jesus that they might put him to death, and found none. Though many false witnesses came, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses coming said, "This man said, 'I am able to undo the temple of God and within 3 days to build it.'" And the chief priest, standing up, said to him, "Answerest thou nothing? What do these people witness against thee?" But Jesus was silent. And the chief priest, answering, said to him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us if thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus says to him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say to you, from henceforth you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the chief priest rent his garment, saying, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then they spat in his face and buffeted him, and they hit him with a staff, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is he who struck thee?" And Peter sat outside in the courtyard. And one maid came to him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I do not know what thou art saying." And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, "Truly, thou also art one of them, for thy speech makes thee manifest." Then he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know the man." And straightway the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, which he said to him, "Before the cock crows, 3 times thou shalt deny me." And he went out and wept bitterly. We read from the Doctrine of the Lord, number 33. The Lord made his human divine by means of temptations. Temptations admitted into himself, and by means of continual victories in them. Temptations are nothing but combats against evils and falsities. And as evils and falsities are from hell, temptations are combats against hell. Moreover, with the people who are undergoing spiritual temptations, evil spirits from hell are present who induce them. The man is unaware that evil spirits induce the temptations, yet that they do so has been granted me to know from much experience. This is the reason why man is drawn out of hell and elevated into heaven when, from the Lord, he conquers in temptations. And this again is why man becomes spiritual and therefore an angel by means of temptations, or combats against evils. The Lord, however, fought from his own power against all the hells and completely mastered and subjugated them. And as he at the same time glorified his human, he holds them so to eternity. For before the Lord's advent, the hells had grown up to such a height that they were beginning to infest the very angels of heaven, and also every man that came into the world and every man that went out of it. The hells grew to such an extent because the church was completely devastated, and men in the world, because of idolatries, were in mere falsities and evils, and the hells are from men. Hence it was that unless the Lord had come into the world, no man could have been saved. Much is said of these combats of the Lord in the Psalms of David and in the prophets, but little in the Gospels. These combats are what are meant by the temptations that the Lord endured, the last of which was the passion of the cross. And it is on account of them that he is called the Savior and the Redeemer. Amen. And when it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And binding him, they led him away and delivered him up to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, who betrayed him, seeing that he was condemned, repenting, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." But they said, "What is it to us? See thou to it." And casting down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and going away, hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to cast them into the treasury, since it is the price of blood." And taking counsel, they bought with them the field of the potter for a sepulchre for sojourners. Wherefore that field was called the Field of Blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled what was declared through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him who was honored, whom they of the sons of Israel honored, and gave them for the field of the potter, as the Lord directed me." And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" But Jesus said to him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate says to him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he did not answer to him one saying, so that the governor marveled greatly. And at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release one prisoner to the crowd whom they desired. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. When therefore they were gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And when he was seated on the tribunal, his wife sent up to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just one, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds that they should ask for Barabbas, but destroy Jesus. And the governor, answering, said to them, "Which of the two do you will that I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate says to them, "What then shall I do to Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all say to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out exceedingly, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that nothing was gained, but that rather a tumult was made, taking water, he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just one. You shall see." And all the people answering said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but delivered Jesus up when he had whipped him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, taking Jesus into the praetorium, gathered against him the whole band of soldiers, and stripping him, they cast around him a scarlet mantle, and braiding a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And spitting on him, they took the reed and smote him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own garments on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to take his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which is called Place of a Skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted, he would not drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting a lot that it might be fulfilled, which was declared by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast a lot." We read further from Apocalypse Explained, number 659. It is related in Matthew that after the Lord's Passion, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of those who slept, coming out of their tombs, went into the holy city and appeared to many. The tombs being opened, and many bodies of those who slept appearing, has a similar signification as in Ezekiel. "Behold, I will open your sepulchres, and will cause you to come up out of your sepulchres, O my people, and will bring you upon the land of Israel, that you may know that I am Yehovah, when I shall have opened your sepulchres, and have caused you to come up out of your sepulchres, O my people, and have given my spirit in you, that you may live, and have placed you upon your own land." These passages signify the regeneration and resurrection of the faithful to life, not that the bodies themselves that lay in the tombs rose again, but that there was this appearance in order that regeneration and resurrection to life from the Lord might be signified. Furthermore, these same words mean those who in the word are said to be bound in the pit, whom the Lord set free when he had finished the whole work of redemption. For many of the faithful could not be saved until the Lord had come into the world and subjugated the hells. Meanwhile, they were detained in places which are called pits until the Lord came, but were set free by the Lord immediately after his coming. These pits were represented also by the tombs that were opened, and those who were in the pits were represented by those who slept, who after the Lord's resurrection, as it is said, appeared to many in the holy city. The holy city was Zion and Jerusalem, but by them heaven is meant, to whom they were raised up by the Lord. For both Zion and Jerusalem were profane rather than holy. This makes evident what that miracle and that appearance represented and signified. Concluding Matthew chapter 27, "And sitting down, they observed him there, and set over his head his charge written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they who passed by blasphemed him, moving their heads and saying, 'Thou who undoest the temple and in 3 days buildest it, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, descend from the cross.' And likewise also the chief priests, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him descend now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' and with the same thing the robbers who were crucified with him also reproached him. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a great voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them who stood there, when they heard it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And straightway one of them running and taking a sponge and filling it with vinegar and putting it on a reed, gave him to drink. But the rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, again crying with a great voice, let forth the Spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth was shaken, and the rocks were ripped, and the sepulchres were opened, and many bodies of the holy ones who slept arose, and coming out of the sepulchres after his resurrection, entered into the holy city and appeared to many. And the centurion and they who were with him observing Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and those things that took place, feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding from afar, who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, whose name was Joseph, who also himself was taught by Jesus. He, coming to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered the body to be given back. And Joseph, taking the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new sepulchre, which he had hewn in the rock. And rolling a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, he departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. And on the morrow, which is the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees were gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet living, After 3 days I will arise. Order, therefore, that the tomb be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples, coming by night, steal him, and say to the people, He is risen from the dead, and the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go, secure it as well as you know how. And they, going away, secured the tomb, sealing the stone with the guard. Finally, we read from Arcana Celestia, number 9715. It shall now be stated what is meant by the justice or righteousness and the merit that belong to the Lord alone. It is believed that the Lord had merit and justice because he fulfilled all things of the law, and because, by the passion of the cross, he saved the human race. Yet these things are not meant in the word by the justice and merit of the Lord. But by his merit and justice is meant that he fought alone with all the hells and subjugated them, and thus reduced into order all things in the hells and at the same time all things in the heavens. For with every man there are spirits from hell, and also angels from heaven. Without these, man cannot possibly live. And unless the hells had been subjugated by the Lord, and the heavens brought back into order, no man could have been saved. This could not have been accomplished except by means of his human, that is, through combats with the hells from his human. And as the Lord did this from his own power, thus alone, therefore, merit and justice belong to the Lord alone. Hence also, it is he alone who still conquers the hells with man, for he who once conquers them forever. Therefore, absolutely nothing of merit and justice belongs to man, But the merit and justice of the Lord are imputed to him when he acknowledges that nothing is from himself, but everything from the Lord. Hence it is that the Lord alone regenerates man. For to regenerate man is to drive away the hells from him, and consequently the evils and falsities which are from the hells, and to implant heaven in their stead, that is, the goods of love and the truths of faith, for these make heaven. Moreover, by continual combats with the hells, the Lord glorified his human, that is, made it divine. For as man is regenerated by means of combats, which are temptations, so the Lord was glorified by means of combats, which were temptations. Consequently, the glorification of the Lord's human by his own power is merit and justice. For through it, mankind has been saved. For thereby all the hells are kept in subjection forever by the Lord. From this it can be seen why the good of the Lord's merit is the only good that reigns in the heavens. For the good of merit is even now the continual subjugation of the hells, and thus the protection of the faithful. This good is the good of the Lord's love, for out of divine love he fought and conquered in the world. From the divine power in the human thence acquired, henceforth he alone forever fights and conquers for heaven and the church, and thus for the whole human race, and thereby saves them. This, then, is the good of merit, which is called justice, because it belongs to justice to restrain the hells, which are endeavoring to destroy the human race, and to protect and save the good and the faithful. Amen. Here end our lessons. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.